Hey, this is Ron Jacobs for Endpoint TV, and today I'm going to try something a little different. Now, a lot of times in the course of my doing my regular work, I get asked to do things like review some code or look at something or give people some advice about something or whatever. And so I end up spending a lot of time kind of writing these little one-off projects. Sometimes they're sort of half-baked. Sometimes they just demonstrate one little thing. Sometimes they're just for the purposes of me exploring an idea, and so I have tons of these kind of scattered around on my hard drive, and then I was thinking, you know, some of these would be pretty cool to share with you, and then I think, well, you know, it's not quite good enough, or I really should clean this up, or I ought to write some nice documentation or something, and, you know, then I never get around to it. So here's what I'm going to try. I'm going to give you something that's not fully baked, okay, and this one is good. I'm not saying the code doesn't work. The code is good. It's correct. It just might be a little bit hard to understand. And if you're into, hey, just give me that code, I'll explore it and see if I can figure it out, go for it. Okay, so let me tell you what I've got here for you. I posted this morning the canonical REST entity service. All right, now this came out of a little code review. A lot of people have been asking me, hey, I did REST services in .NET 3.5 using the REST starter kit, and now I want to move to .NET 4. You know, what kind of resource do you have for me to do REST services in .NET 4? There's new features in .NET 4 to help me, but I don't know how to use them or whatever, right? So I was reviewing some code that was from .NET 3.5 and saying, well, you can get rid of this, or you keep this, and all this. And I started noticing, almost every time I reviewed code like this, that there were subtle problems with the way in which the service was implemented. Now, I always say with REST that you can do what you want to do, right? There's kind of pragmatic, low-REST people, just you're using HTTP, but you're not really following any of the rules. You're just kind of doing plain old XML or plain old JSON or whatever. You can do that. I used to think that was, in fact, preferable. Today, the more I look at this, the more I believe there's a lot of value in understanding the way the HTTP spec describes the semantics of each verb. So the semantics are what give the standard its power. If you don't follow the semantics, then you have a lot of caveats about, well, yeah, I know GET's not supposed to do this, but my service does it. Or, you know, yeah, I know I'm supposed to do this, but I don't. Or whatever. Why do that? Why not just have a service that's semantically correct? So, this project is my attempt to show you what I think is a semantically correct REST service that returns entities. Okay? And it's kind of a canonical model. Now, you're free to, you know, muck with the URI templates and things like that if you want to. So this service actually uses a generic resource I call resource. Okay, that's just a placeholder name. You could, you know, insert customer or whatever you want for those kind of things. So here on the homepage of this, I have a list of methods and statuses and responses. So this is the first thing I did, is kind of plotted out my map of what my REST service does. And I usually recommend you do this first. So I have my URI template, like slash key, and that's an HTTP GET. It will get that resource by key. And then here's the various responses you might get. So if you get a 200, then you're going to get the serialized resource in the response body. If you get 304, that's a not modified, that means you get an empty response body. You might get a 400 bad request, in which case it might be empty, or you might get a serialized error message, or in the case of 404, you get a not found, it's empty. So you see how this table works. So I've suggested, for example, like with the GET list of resources, that you ought to include support for paging with skip and take, so I have that in here. How posts should work, and in fact, sometimes you might have a case where you have you need to have support for 409 conflict because somebody's trying to post something that conflicts with something you already have. And then there's other interesting things like 204s, no content. I've looked at a lot of REST services and I've probably never seen one that implements this correctly. And in fact, many of my own samples did not until I studied it again. So here's my take on the correctness of these things. So I have tests for each of those URIs and the semantics, and I have a link to the spec. So you can go off and read the spec, and you might disagree with my take on it. It's okay. Leave comments. Tell me why you disagree, or if you think I should add something that I missed. That'd be great. So anyway, I have all my list of kind of requirements for the service: get, post, delete, and what they should do. Now, what I did is I then took these requirements into my code. So here's the project, and I have a test where I actually put all of those things right here in the code, and for each one of those, I made a test, like this one, put must update the entity identified by the URI if it exists. And in this case, I'm supporting put where it does add or update. Okay, and then I have variations of these tests for XML and for JSON. So, and then I call an overload where I pass in the format that I want to use, like XML or JSON, and then I have an implementation. Now, in the test code, there's a lot of interesting, cool things. One of the coolest ones is this little class here called HTTP Test Helper. I'm not going to explain it to you here. It's a little complicated. Just drill in and use it. It uses the HTTP client code from the REST Starter Kit. I've got an updated build from .NET 4 included with this project. One other really cool thing I did is I built this to support kind of automatic running of the test with Fiddler and the ASP.NET Development Server. Now, if you've done any work with WCF tests, you know that one thing that's tricky is when you run your test, how do you get the ASP.NET Development Server to start automatically when you run the test? Well, it's a problem. It's still not been fixed, and so I came up with a way to do it with these little test helpers. So I have a helper class that you call when the test starts up, and it does all everything. All right, so let's just run the test, and let me show you what happens when you run the test. If I say run all tests in solution, we see the development server starts up, Fiddler starts up, it's running all of my tests. By the way, if you don't know what Fiddler is, it's the most awesome tool. You really need this tool or something like it when you're writing REST services. It totally will save your neck as you try to figure out what's going on in the HTTP level. I have 46 of 46 tests passing. Each one of the things in my Canonical app is described here, both in XML and JSON. If you want to see how I did the test, you can say open test. It'll take you right to that test, and then you kind of just follow your way through to where it's actually implemented. And I dealt with one other thing that comes up a lot, and people ask me about how do I deal with read-only data in a REST service? Because, you know, people might put some data and it has some fields in it that they got from a GET request and they try to update the field. What should I do with that? This code deals with that problem. I'm not going to explain it in this video. You're just going to have to check it out for yourself. Okay, so go check it out. There's a lot to study here, a lot to see, and it's the Canonical REST Entity Service on MSDN Code Gallery. And if you got discussions, questions, you can post here on the discussions. If you find bugs, the issue tracker tab is here. Put something there. Eventually, I'm going to turn this into something friendlier for people who are just getting started and maybe kind of a hands-on lab or something, and you'll walk through and build up something. When I get time. Who knows when that will happen? All right. So, for Endpoint TV, I'm your host, Ron Jacobs.